The Good News Hour is with you once again. This is a program that's wholly dedicated to the glorious gospel concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, and your speaker is John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas. And I'm going to turn to two or three portions in the holy, unerring Word of God, and we're going to see today from the Scriptures what God's attitude is toward you. Now listen. If you want to find out what God's attitude is toward you, what God's thoughts are regarding you, where would you go? You certainly wouldn't see it expressed in nature, because we so often say that nature is red tooth and claw. And why, we've seen exhibitions of His power and the severity, too, of our God again and again. But if you want to know the thoughts of our God to you and His attitude toward you, whoever you are that may be listening in today, we're going to tell you where to turn. We're going to tell you where you can find it. Now listen, you do not have to appeal to a theologian to find out God's thoughts regarding you. You do not have to go to some one who is high up in the circles of the teaching of the Holy Scriptures. You can go direct for yourself to the Word of God. And listen, you disdain that thought or that word that comes from anybody that you cannot understand the Scriptures, you cannot understand the Word of God. You must have an interpreter. That's wrong, decidedly wrong. You see, the Word of God is given to us, and of course it is profound, and yet at the same time it is, thank God, so simple, and as we have it referred to in the prophecy of Isaiah, the wayfaring man, though a fool, need not err therein. And if there's the slightest degree of desire on your part to know the way of God, to know the way to heaven, to know what God's thoughts are to you, then we say today, now listen, we say it without fear of contradiction from anybody. You turn at once to the Holy Scriptures. And I say, if you do not have a copy of the Word of God, I'm sure the Scriptures are available even at some of our stores at just a mere pittance. You could obtain a copy of the Scriptures. And furthermore, I'd be glad to pass on a copy of the Word of God to anybody who could not purchase the same for him or for herself, so that you might know the way to God. And we insist, as never, never before, there's a need of turning to the Holy Scriptures to see what God has to say. What do the Scriptures have to say? Now then, will you turn with me, please, to the prophecy of Isaiah, a prophecy, first of all, of Ezekiel, chapter 33, reading in verse 1. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his head. Now, I think that's simple, and I think it's plain and certainly easy to be understood. You see, this was God's way of warning and God's way of protection in a bygone economy. When the sword was to come, there was a watchman. This watchman, the watchman's business was to forewarn. Watchman's business was to blow the trumpet and to communicate to those who were in danger that the enemy was approaching, the sword would be upon them, and of course it would mean death. Now if they heard the trumpet that sounded in clear and unmistakable tones, and if they obeyed that message, then of course their lives would be saved. Now if the watchman failed, now I want to see this, if the watchman failed to give warning, then the blood of the one that perished was upon his hands. In other words, he was responsible. And you know, I like to think this every time I stand before the microphone, that I am responsible to God to make a clear declaration. and to raise the warning voice that judgment is coming. The judgment of God is going to fall upon this guilty, Christless world. But you know, if you take refuge under the atoning blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you'll be saved and safe from coming judgment. You see, God has given His Son, Christ died, He's made provision, so that you need not perish, for Christ has died. Now further, this is His attitude as expressed down in this very same chapter, and I shall have to hurry. He says, "Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." And we're glad to be able to tell you that this is still God's attitude toward mankind. And I'm sure it's His attitude toward you. In other words, He has no pleasure. And He says, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. And oh, to any listening in who aren't sure, who do not have settled peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin, we would say to you, turn from your evil way. Turn to the blessed Son of God. Open the heart's door and bid the Savior enter in. And you would be safe from the judgment that is about to fall. Now, without saying any more on this passage, I should like to turn to another. And this, of course, is found, too, in the Old Testament, in the prophecy of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 29, and we shall read for brevity now at about verse 10. "For thus saith the Lord," and you know, wherever you come across an expression like that, "thus saith the Lord," first you know it is true. You can depend upon it. You see, we sometimes say, earthly friends may fail or leave us, one day soothe, the next day grieve us, but this friend will ne'er deceive us. Oh, how he loves. And wherever you read in the Bible, "thus saith the Lord," you can rest upon it. You can be sure that whatever follows will be carried out, because God cannot lie. And we're glad even when we come to the New Testament, we come across an expression like this in the Epistle of Titus, the very first chapter, that says, "God that cannot lie hath promised eternal life." And oh, if you'd lay hold of that promise today, I tell you, it would bring to you the joy and the satisfaction that your heart has been longing for. Now then, coming back then to the prophecy of Jeremiah 29 and verse 10, where Jeremiah opens up by saying, "Thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place." And of course, you read the word of God and see how literally that was carried out. It couldn't be otherwise, because you see, it was His holy word that was at stake. However, this is what I want to press now upon your heart, and I'd like to do it as one who is intensely interested in hearing of your being brought to the Savior, if you aren't saved. On the other hand, if you do belong to Him, that His word might have a greater place in your heart and in your life than it has ever had before. You see, the Word of God is the neglected book, and men and women invariably turn to it only when they're in distress, and when sorrow comes, and when trials beset us round about. Then there's the tendency of turning to the Word of God. But we would say to you, whatever your circumstances today, begin your day by reading the Word of God. Read it to your family and see what God the Lord has to say. And we can assure you that you'll hear something that will fit you for the day. Of course, if you're a Christian. On the other hand, if you're not saved, likely He'd have something to say to you that would cause a stir and an anxiety, that you would be saying, "I must attend to this important matter. It must come before anything and everything else. It's my precious, priceless, immortal soul that is at stake." God grant that you'll listen to Him and hear what He has to say. Now then, shall we proceed? "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." Now, you see, we began by saying, thus saith the Lord. And then when we come to the 11th verse, we have furthermore what he has to say. And he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Now, you couldn't possibly know the thoughts of my heart unless I write down those thoughts, or unless I communicate them to you by word of lip. I'd have to say it orally or otherwise, or you could never know the thoughts of my heart. Now, you could never know the thoughts of God's heart. He's far, far from us. However, the thoughts of his heart have been expressed, and they're brought to us in clear, simple language, so that he may know, oh, says someone, hurry along. What are his thoughts toward me? Well, this then is what clearly brings it forth. He says, I know the thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, the Bible tells us that the expectation of the wicked is wrath. And there are a great many people, in fact, you could take a cross-section east, west, north, south, and you could interview your friends and maybe some of your neighbors and ask them where they will be for all eternity. And they say, well, I would like to think I'll be in heaven. Of course, I couldn't be too sure. On the other hand, it is the desire of our God to give you an expected end. In other words, you could be positive and you could be sure that whatever comes, whatever goes, you'll be able to say, it's well with my soul. In other words, you could say, thank God, I'm resting upon his finished word. Now, just one thought in the New Testament, and then we shall have to conclude our little message. In the first epistle of Timothy, chapter 2, the apostle there says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. It's his desire that you might be saved. May it be good today. Hear his word. Made good in your soul. Believe him and receive him for his great name's sake. Now, drop us a line, please. We're anxiously waiting to hear from you. This address will reach us. Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas.